Just text. Someone says Texas isn't the destination spot that it used to be. I don't understand that. What do you mean it's not? They just went to two semifinals. It's a great university. It's a great area. Whether it's low tech, high tech, job wise. I mean, why would somebody say it's not the place that it used to be?
Oh, I think
they've been winning.
Right. I just think college football is changing as a whole. And, you know, we talk about college football looking more like the NFL every day. I think roster construction is going to start to mimic the NFL a little bit more. Like, you're just, you know, a lot of people saw that the scholarship numbers were going from 85 to 105 and thought, oh, man, we're going to have more star players on the roster. And it's just hard to retain that many stars. It's almost like you're looking for, you know, NFL's got 53-man rosters. It's almost like if you're a college coach now, you're looking for like 50 to 60 guys that are good enough to help you compete for a national championship. But players 60 through 85 or now through 105,
yeah,
it's going to be hard to have stars buried on your bench. It's going to be hard to just, you know, the way it used to be where it's like you just have a 4-star or a 5-star who's comfortable sitting for 2 years or 3 years waiting their turn to play.
Oh, no, if they can get paid, they're going to get paid.
That's it. That's what's happening right now. And you're seeing it. So Texas is not the only blue blood program dealing with major portal attrition right now.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it's not a good destination. I just think it's a great.
Well, it's just the change of college sports, right? Like Texas right now has lost 23 players to the portal. They've added 8. That doesn't sound good, right?
No, it doesn't.
Alabama. They've lost 20 players to the portal. They've only added 6. Ohio State has lost 22 players to the portal. They've only added 5. Michigan lost 24 players to the portal. They've only added 5. Buck, Notre Dame lost 15 to the portal. They've added 0 so far. So you say misery loves company. And look, I'm more focused on my house than anybody else's. But you look to your right and left at your blue blood neighbors, they're having major maintenance issues too.
Sure.
So that's just the you can't. Those teams recruit a bunch of 4- and 5-star kids, right? Those are the schools that have the top ranked recruiting classes every year. Again, you're not going to be able to just have those kids stashed on your bench anymore because other schools are going to be like, well, you're not playing there, but you were a 4-star. So we'd like to have you. So we'll pay you.
So maybe some of those things that I talked about where going to the certain university because Uncle Joe went there or whatever. That may come back into play. I mean they have to be good players. I'm not talking about a scrubby kid. I'm talking about a kid that is a really, really good player that may not be a 5-star kid. It may be a 3-star kid that you can coach into being a 5, which, once again, I'll give you all those 3s you want. You give me the 5s, and I'll beat your ass every Saturday most of the time. But, I mean, some of those 3s that want to be there at your place now, will that come back then? That could sit out and say, you know what? I love this place. You know what? The program is good. We're winning. I'm getting into the playoffs. But guess what? I'll wait my turn. I'm not going to run off in 1 year because somebody says, here's an extra $200,000 or $300,000, and you're going to play. I'll wait my turn at a place like Texas and play and win games and still have a nice career. Can that start to come back possibly if all these 5-stars or whatever are saying, no, I'm not going to wait around. I got to get out of here.
I guess. Yeah, I guess that'll happen. I mean, I don't know for sure, and I don't know how often Texas is going
to
be.
It'll take a while. It'll be a while before that thing turns back to that way, I believe.
Well, I just wonder, you know, again, it feels like we saw a change and we're seeing a change with Texas's philosophy when it comes to roster construction. Like last year, they brought in the number one recruiting class in the country. I think there were 28 people that they signed in that class. This year, it was down to number 8, and they signed like 6 or 7 less people this year. And it's like, because I think they're starting to realize that this might not be the way to do it anymore.
You may need more of them out of the portal than actually recruiting them.
Right.
It's going to cost us money either way.
And you look at the 4 teams who are left. I guess now there's 3, but y'all know what I mean. All 4 of them had transfer portal quarterbacks. And all 4 of them had a roster littered with transfers. I mean, Ole Miss and Indiana, their entire rosters are basically transfer players.
Well, the ones that have been lost have a transfer quarterbacks. The ones that got in the playoffs all just about had transferred. I mean, none of the quarterbacks stick around. This is amazing. You know, you're going to have a quarterback here that'll be here for his entire time, which will be which would be odd in college football.
Right. No, look, it's worked for Texas. I mean, I guess Quinn Ewers was a transfer quarterback too. So the last guy we had was a transfer. Now they got him young. It's not like he was super proven at the college level when he came to Austin, but yeah, no, it's different. It is different. It used to be all about high school recruiting, putting together the best class that you could so you could stock your roster with depth. It's just, it's hard. Look, the guys like Colin Simmons, those guys are still going to get paid and recruited sure. by the biggest of the big dogs. That's not going to change. But now these four stars, again, the days of just stashing four stars and letting them develop, you'd love to do that. The coaches would love to do that. But those days are over because these guys want to go get paid and they want to play. And now it's easier for them to get paid and to go play than it's ever been.
It's just easy to leave. It's just so easy to leave.
Yeah. So that's, again, it's blue blood. It's changing, man. It is changing right now. And you look, like Indiana and Texas Tech have the two highest ranked transfer portal classes in the country right now. And you might be like, BK, how does that work? Right? They both made the playoff. Indiana's the number one seed. Like, how are they able to have these rosters and continue stacking talent from the portal? The difference is, like, Indiana, they don't sign five stars out of high school.
No.
So they don't have to deal with this retention every year. And if, like, they have a player who wants to leave, it's like, fine, you're like a three-star. We don't care if you want to go play somewhere else. That's all right. We're not going to pay you to stay.
We'll go grab a portal guy.
We're going to the portal. Now, both of those schools obviously have money. We know what Cody Campbell's doing at Texas Tech. Mark Cuban just came out earlier this week and is like, yeah, I'm paying Indiana a ton of money right now to help them stay this good because this is fun. But that's what's happening too. And that's why so many blue bloods are getting crushed because they've invested so much into high school recruits who they're trying to develop, and why some of these other schools that don't are winning and having success.
Yeah, that the portal is something else now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, portal combat is what people call it. That's a real thing.
Yeah, and it's the experience that you get from those guys that have played college football, no matter how bad the teams they were on, but they played in games. That's the experience that when you come out of high school, no matter what star you are, if you don't actually get on the field with the college players and you're just practicing with them and you're not getting on in games and getting the experience of games and you sit back for a year and you don't really play, that's hard. That's why I thought some of these wide receivers, I'm like, these dudes are getting out of here.
Yeah.
If they were five stars, they're going to get their pack their bags and go someplace. I mean, either whether they make less money, if they're a starter, they're getting experience. They're getting to play. Still in their minds, they want to play football.
These guys are, you know, four and five star players. Like, they were the best player on their high school teams.
Right.
And
they don't want to go someplace and sit for 2 years.
Exactly. Exactly. And nowadays you don't have to, because you don't have to sit out a year when you transfer. So
right.
I don't know if Jamie French is going to be alone. I mean, Texas has already lost four wide receivers in the portal, so clearly he's not alone, right? DeAndre Moore, Parker Livingston, Jamie French, Aaron Butler. All four of those guys are already gone. Does Dalen McCutchen leave? Does Kalik Lockett leave? I hope not. But you know other schools are reaching out to their agents and saying, we'll give you this much money and we'll give you a better chance to play early than if you stay at Texas. So that's the world we live in right now.
I still think that's why any advantage that you can help yourself with, like playing guys in bowl games, getting them in those meaningless games when they're thinking, I got to get this thing going. You know, I got to get the rest of my team going. You got to play some of these guys and they're going to make some mistakes, but they need to be getting in the games. Well, so they at least think that you care about them.
Here's the risk. It's a bit of a double-edged sword, Buck, because look at Bo Barnes, for example. Bo Barnes didn't play much during the regular season, but because of all of the opt-outs at linebacker, he played a lot against Michigan, and he played well against Michigan. He and his agent are now fielding more calls because of that game, and they now think they are worth more money because of that game. So that's a little risky run when you play some of those younger guys, is if they play well, they're going to be getting offers on the open.
I know there's no second time for the portal, but now that makes me think you're going to see less and less of spring games then now. I don't think that's coming back. I just don't, it's giving people opportunity to see your players
They can't do anything about it until January.
I know, well, that, yeah, but that's still, I don't, I don't want to give anybody any thought of taking some guy that was in a spring game that looked pretty good. I mean, it's just you're giving people advantages looking at your players when you don't have to.
Feels like coaches just don't want to play a spring game, and that's why they don't play a spring game. And
well, they think they have enough practice. Their teams, they don't have enough bodies anyway. They don't want to take a chance.
Right. Yeah.
And what do they get out of that except for their season ticket holders who pay a lot of money that want to see football in the spring and want to see new guys?
Right.
What's the new blood? Coaches don't care if you see new blood or not. They could care less. You as the fan, you want to see such and such that you've heard about, and the coaches don't care if you haven't seen them, enough of them.
Yep, that's my big complaint, because I'm a fan. I'm not a coach, and fans get asked to pay more and more money than ever before, and it feels like fans are getting less and less in return than ever before. So spring games are part of that. Some more not-so-good breaking news. Another day, really another hour, another Longhorn to the portal. Defense is apparently going portaling.
Right, I didn't hear that. You got your deal went off then.
Defensive back Kobe Black
has
gone portaling. That just reported within the last 4 or 5 minutes. Kobe Black expected to potentially compete for a starting spot at corner for the Longhorns in 2026.
Played pretty well through down the end too.
He did, yeah. You know, there were a lot of rumors like late in the regular season that he wasn't really happy and he kind of had one foot out the door, but he played a lot against Texas A&M and he played really well in that football game and then got to play a good amount against Michigan. And maybe, you know, the thought was like, all right, maybe everything's cool and it's all water under the bridge and we're going to be all right. Kobe Black's going to stick around, but that is not the case. Former five-star recruit, played 28 career games at Texas, 28 tackles, 2 PBUs, and an interception.
Oh, that sucks right there.
Yeah.
Man, but you know what? As we talk about this and another one leaves, Mississippi will wake up this morning to a bunch of guys packing their bags too and headed out there. Guys that didn't play in that game and guys that love what they went through this year and all the joy and we came together and all that. But there are going to be some guys gone from a team like that too.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's the portal's still open for another 7 days. So a lot of guys have not entered yet. I mean, obviously, we're seeing it at Texas, right? These guys could have entered a week ago. They're entering now. We will see more departures from Texas, but more departures from all across the country over the next week. And then the two teams who play for the national championship will get an extended deadline. So some guys after the national title game will also depart.
Yeah, I mean, see, this was one of those – you know, Kobe Black waits his time, and now it would be his time, and he's going.
Yeah. You know, he had a solid year as a freshman, as a rotational piece. Big things were kind of expected of him this year, and he had an up-and-down 2025. Again, the highlight, without question, the performance against Texas A&M. He was fantastic. 3 tackles, an interception to help seal the Longhorn victory. Had a PBU as well. He played really well in that game. And, you know, again, he played a lot against Florida because Manny Muhammad was out. He was horrible against Florida, as was pretty much everybody else for Texas in that game. But his snaps kind of started dropping off for a while after that. And, you know, Cade Phillips ended up getting more time than Kobe Black this year. So, again, it felt like he had sort of lost his spot, but did a lot in those last two games. So, again, you were thinking maybe – it'd be fine and he would stick around, but that ain't happening.
Yeah. I mean, the things you do and the loyalties that you have, you know, Sark's kind of a loyal dude. I mean, you know, he loves his 3 receivers and that. Now he's losing those. I mean, your loyalty is going to be repaid by your cash and your playing time, really.
Right.
If you think I'm good, you better play me.
Well, look, I mean, here's what Kobe Black is looking at. I mean, he sees that Texas just added a corner from the portal in Bo Masco.
That's right. We just got Rutgers.
And he sees that Cade Phillips, who's a year younger than him, started taking his spot in the cornerback rotation. And those kind of feel like your 2 starting corners for 2026. You've got Grayson Littleton coming back at the star. You know, Kobe Black, would he play a lot? Of course, you rotate your corners, but somebody out there is offering him starter level money to go be a starter.
Yeah, and for now they are. Yes, you're absolutely right.
I think that's what's happening here. So again, your depth, it's harder to build depth than ever before because these guys they want to go play. They want to go play and they want to get paid like starters, and Texas doesn't want to pay guys who aren't starters starter level money.
Yep.
That's where we're at right now. So that one hurts. That one hurts because Kobe Black, again, a big time recruit, 5 stars in some of the rankings, 4-star, I think, overall, but a top 40 player in the class of 2024 nationally, 6'2", 200 pounds, you know, from Waco. So a local enough kid, had high hopes for him as a Texas Longhorn, but the rest of his career will be somewhere else.
Another opportunity will open up for somebody in the transfer portal. Somebody will look at that and say, no, I'll come.
This week sucks, man. Can we just get Cam Coleman here to make everything better? Can we just get that announcement today, please?
What is his deal? Is he going to end up at Texas Tech?
I don't know. I mean, there are 4 schools in the mix. It's Texas A&M and Texas Tech. Alabama is the other one. Apparently, he's visiting Roll Tide today.
Don't these guys want to compete against somebody? Do they just want a gig. They don't want to compete. They don't want to come to your campus to compete. They want to come to your campus to be slotted in a spot that belongs to you without having to compete for anything.
Not talking about Cam Coleman here. You're talking about Kobe Black. Oh,
and hey, Cam Coleman don't have to compete with anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Making sure. Cam Coleman goes to any of those spots and he's instantly wide receiver one.
Yeah, it doesn't matter with him. He can show up just the week before the game and he'll be just fine.
That guy would be wide receiver one on every team outside of Columbus, Ohio next year because they
have about 20 of the NFL teams that would take him right now.
Yeah, yeah. It's a different conversation with Coleman, but yeah, going back to your thought, I mean, I guess that's what it feels like, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But for Coleman, taking a visit to Bama today, you know, interesting. Alabama just hired Auburn's former offensive coordinator as its wide receivers coach. So a guy who was on the Auburn staff while Cam Coleman was playing at Auburn is now the position coach at Cam Coleman's position at Alabama. So, you know, the Crimson Tide were in the mix before. You feel like that helps their chances a little bit. But I kind of feel like this is a battle between the Texas schools here.
Oh, yeah. If he wants to go somewhere, he needs to go ahead and go to Alabama just to go to your rival. That's great.
Yeah. Well, when he transferred, he isn't the first and he won't be the last to transfer to a rival. Doesn't mean as much to the players anymore. So, you know, it's it feels sacrilegious that Cam Coleman's even visiting Alabama.
Doesn't it?
He might actually sign there and play in that jersey in the Iron Bowl next year. But, you know, it's interesting. I think Texas people still feel good about Cam Coleman. Everything I've read, everybody I've talked to still likes the Longhorns' chances here. I'm still terrified about Texas Tech just because of the money that they have. I don't know if Cam Coleman wants to spend a year of his life living in Lubbock, but they are not afraid to spend the money in the portal. They've shown that the last 2 years. You know, he was committed at one point to Texas A&M out of high school. The Aggies have money too. And obviously Alabama's Alabama. So all 4 fan bases kind of believe that their school still has a shot here. Wow. And I think that's it. I think this is the end of the visit schedule for Cam Coleman. And I think by the end of the weekend, we will have a decision either way.
Yeah, he'd like to go and collect that check unless you'd like to get from Washington, sign a check, and then say, hey, y'all, not so fast. I need another check.
He's actually going back to Washington too.
Is that all done now?
It's all done. Apparently. Maybe we shouldn't say it so assuredly, but
how about his agent saying, I don't want anything to do with this kid?
Yeah, I don't.
And for an agent to do that, that's he must think not very highly of that kid.
No, with all the money he could be making off of that kid, that's crazy. It's a jumbled mess.
And then the agent the agent group, they don't want anything to do with it.
I'm glad he's staying at Washington.
He's also the coach's agent.
Which coach?
At Washington.
Okay.
He's the head coach's agent that's dealing with the quarterback. How's that? And the agent says, you know what? I don't want anything to do with this kid. This kid is, there's something up with him.
Well, whoever the agent ended up being, they got something done. And DeMond Williams is sticking around Seattle. What a wild couple of days that was. And it's good for college football that he's staying at Washington. Cause
as much as the football and football players, they need structure. And as much as they need structure, this whole system needs to have structure. So can you get Saban out of this Verbo place and get a group together to give this thing some kind of structure? I didn't see enough of him in Verbo last night. By the way,
were you not watching the game?
I watched, and I was looking for a couple.
That commercial aired 10 times at least.
Seriously?
Yes. And they didn't. We were asking for a new one. We were thinking, all right.
No, they were rerunning. I saw the rerun, but
yeah,
I didn't get enough of it.
It was on. It was on 10 times. I don't think I'm exaggerating with that either.
The hot tub one.
Both of them. Hot tub, lawnmower, check-ins at 3. It's 2:55. I know.
Is this what he's doing now?
Yeah, really?
Got the whole shit memorized.
I only saw a couple of
them. No showers longer than 5 minutes. This isn't a spa.
Hey, it's the rule. It's a rule.
It's the rules. So it's like, give us a curveball. Please, Verbo.
Perfect time. Give us the new one. The new one's coming out next.
It was your game, the Verbo Fiesta Bowl. That was your chance to do something different, and no.
Sorry about that. I must have seen 2 at the most. I thought I was going to see it at every one. You saw at least 10 of them?
The 4 tops say it's the same old song. It's the same old song, Verbo.
Wow.
I don't know if Nick Saban, I mean, look, some sort of college football commissioner would be better than 0 college football commissioner. But
seriously,
I don't know if he'd be my first choice. They got to figure something out. It's wild. It is wild right now. But Cam Coleman would make this week a lot better because it's been a pretty miserable week for Texas fans, and it's been messing with my mental health and messing with my sanity. And I know I'm not alone. So Texas people like the chances. Again, Texas has a lot of money. They have shed a lot of money with all of the players who are leaving. They can outbid anybody if they need to, but Texas can also offer Arch Manning, who's the best quarterback of the 4 schools that are going after Cam Coleman. They can also offer Steve Sarkisian, who, number one, has had more success at his current spot than any of the other head coaches. But number two, look at Sark's track record with first-round wide receivers. Like,
yes.
Xavier Worthy and Matthew Golden at Texas. Now, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Henry Ruggs at Alabama. Don't worry about the off-field stuff for Henry Ruggs. First-round pick because of his on-field stuff. And Devontae Smith won the freaking Heisman Trophy as a wide receiver with Sark as his offensive coordinator in Tuscaloosa. So that's another thing that Texas can offer that none of these other schools can. And if this is not all about money, which – it's been reported multiple times that it's not only about money for Cam Coleman. Now, some of it's about money because it's always some about money. But everything else that Texas can provide, I think the Longhorns have a more complete offer than anybody else.
I would agree. A guy at his position needs to have somebody that won't get his head taken off. And he's going to make money. He's about to make money after another football season anyway. If he's going someplace to play, you might as well. And obviously, since it's not about I need to get to a championship, it's about I need to get paid and I need to up my standings in the first round. This seems like the best place.
Yeah, I think so too.
If you're looking for numbers and money,
this seems to be the place. Yeah, what does he care about the most? Because look, Texas Tech, the way they're throwing money around, they might call Cam Coleman and say, "Ah, you're leaning Texas? Well, what if we threw another $1 million on top of our current offer? That may be enough to sway him." But if it's about success and money, because it's always about money, then I think Texas would make the most sense. And also, as I'm trying to say that it's not all about money, how many commercials is Arch Manning in? You don't think some of those brands would like to have his number one wide receiver potentially in there too?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't see Marcel Reed on my screen 400 times.
Catching a Red Bull, having Arch throw a Red Bull to Coleman.
I don't know if you can promise that right off the bat, but maybe, Cam Coleman starts playing well and Texas plays well as a team, then he could be getting some commercials with his QB1 too.
So I just think it's not like you don't have enough money in the bank. You probably made enough at Auburn, but you're trying to up your standard in the first round. You know, if you're going to be a number 12, you can end up being a number 7. Sure. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, that's the thing I'd be looking at if I'm a wide receiver. I guess, by the way, I could survive with the kind of coin that they give you these days in college somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be making two, probably closer to $3 million minimum.
No matter where he is.
No matter where he goes out of the four schools. And, yeah, again, Texas has the best quarterback of the bunch. They got the best wide receiver developer of the bunch. They've got, I think, the best head coach of the bunch. So
it's about who represents you. It's because a lot of these young guys, it's not about what they think, because their minds are still not quite matured enough. But the ones that are the alleged mature ones who make deals like this, they let them do the work.
Yeah.
And they let them know that this is the best deal that you can get. This is best suited for you and everything, rounded and everything. But I don't see any better deal for a guy like that than to be with a quarterback like this and a quarterback coach and a guy who's taking the last couple of receivers, you know, to the promised land of what they wanted to do for their future. Because it's just a matter of where his stock is in the first round. He's a first round. He can go and not do anything next year. You know what I'm saying, BK? He's a first round wide receiver. It's just how you move down now for him.
Yeah, I am definitely biased, but I agree with you. Everything you said there. So we'll see. Again, Cam Coleman visiting Alabama right now, seemingly the last of his four visits. So hopefully we get a decision in the not too distant future.
I'm just glad to hear that Texas is still in it.
I know. With all the bad news we've had this week, right. It's like, I think a lot of people are expecting Cam Coleman to end up somewhere else. A lot of the sting would go away if you're able to get the number one player in the portal.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Kobe Black just taken. I mean, he knows that everybody saw what he did in the latter part of the season. Even though he's got some playing time taken away by a freshman, go and compete and beat that dude out so that you are the guy. And that guy still remains where he is, and he comes in every once in a while. I mean, that guy's good enough to be just a starter flat out.
I think so. Again, it was up and down this year. Like, he didn't have as consistent of a year as I had hoped. I thought this would be more of a breakout season for Kobe Black. But, again, he showed you what he can do against a very high-powered offense and an A&M team that was undefeated going into that game. So he's got something. I would have loved to have kept him around, as is the case with a lot of the guys who are leaving.
Yeah, I like to have the guys with balls that want to compete. Unless his coach is like I was, you're just not good enough. You're just not, hey, by the way, that guy's just better than you. You need to get a lot better.
Hey,
can you imagine me saying that now to a kid? They'd be like, okay, I got to call my mom. I'll be right back.
Well, bye.
Yes.
Did hit you with that right there. All right, we'll get back into this. The latest, we got a couple of more updates. Linebackers visiting Austin, major position of need. That's some great news. Also, still waiting on the big uglies. Where's the beef? Wendy's asked. Where's the offensive lineman? We'll talk more about Texas's plans there. Also, we got to get the Bucks Gold Star locks for the NFL weekend. And the playoffs start tomorrow, so we'll preview some of those games as well. But before we shift gears, how about a few more sponsor shout-outs?
You know, our friends over at Woods Comfort Systems, folks, you know, for close to 70 years in Central Texas, they've been doing it with heating, plumbing now, and, of course, air conditioning. But that air conditioning unit of yours is probably going to slow down a little bit as the temperature starts to change and we get into some 60s and possibly some 50-degree temperatures next week. But you want to make sure that everything's working properly, so when that heater does come on, that you don't have smoke bellowing out of your heater. And I had these folks come to my place twice a year. I have a contract with them. Yes, contracts for everything. They come twice a year. Their technicians come and make sure that the filters are changed, everything's clean and ready to go. So when the cold weather does hit, that it's going to be working properly. You want the same for your home, I presume. But folks, now they are not only doing heating and air conditioning, but they do a fantastic job when it comes to plumbing. So if you've got any plumbing issues, you want to call on our friends at Woods Comfort Systems, because nobody does it better.
Nobody does it better. WoodsComfortSystems.com, or you can give them a call, 512-842-5066. Speaking of nobody doing it better, how about audiovisual consultations?
Nobody does that better, for sure.
Nobody does this better than Tom McKay and his crew at AV Consultations. It's why they've been around since 1988. Coming up on 40 years? God, Tom is old, isn't he?
My goodness.
Thank God, almost 40 years in business. But hey, you don't last that long unless you know what you're doing and unless you take care of people. And that's what AV Consultations is all about. Look, we always talk about the screens and the speakers and the whole home lighting and the surveillance cameras and all the cool tech stuff that they can hook you up with. That's why you call them. But their customer service is what really sets them apart. Super polite, super respectful. They're not going to leave a mess in your home when they install at your place. But also, it's not like, oh, they just install and then oh, they're never there if you need them. No, if something breaks, they'll come out to your place and fix it. If you have questions, they'll answer your questions. If you want to upgrade, hey, this is pretty cool, but we want to do more, AV Consultations will do that for you. Tons of five-star reviews online. All of us on TSU have been hooked up by AV Consultations. They are the very best at what they do. Again, that's why they've been around for almost four decades. 512-255-8678. Give them a call. Tom and his crew will bring everything to you. 512-255-8678 or avconsultations.com.
Sweet.
Also, Allstat beer. Now, Tom McKay is not drinking any Allstat beer these days, but...
And he's not going to come to your house drinking beer.
No.
He won't do that.
He doesn't do that. Back in the day, now Tom was drinking some Allstat beer.
No, way long time ago. That guy's been on the wagon longer than I have, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. But, hey, you know who's not on the wagon?
You.
Yours truly.
You're ready to compete at all times. You're not a quitter.
It appears we have reached another weekend, Buck. Somebody messed up because they let us get to Friday. And it's looking like beer o'clock on my watch. I don't know about you. Allstat beer, my choice of beer, and it has been 4 years. Anyone who's followed my career, y'all know I've been talking about Allstat for a long time. Like the old radio station days during my time in Houston and now here on TSU. Why do I talk about it? Because I love it. It's the only beer that I drink. It's awesome. It's brewed locally in Fredericksburg, so I know I'm supporting a local business every time I drink Allstat, but they've got so many different brews. If I'm in the mood for a lager, if I'm in the mood for a Kolsch, they've got a great Hefeweizen. They've got a great light beer, something for everybody out there. I say it all the time, and I mean it. One sip, and you won't go back to the other beers you have been drinking in the past. Of course, please remember to drink Allstat responsibly. Whatever you have going on this weekend, make sure you plan a sober ride home. But whatever you have going on over these next few days, all of your football watching, make sure you accompany your good times and your football with the greatness that is Allstat beer. No impurities, no regrets.
You know, why would Cam Coleman go to a place like Bama? Do you see the quarterback that's about to step in there?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you're talking about your future. Your future may only be a week with that guy throwing passes to you.
So here's the thing with Cam Coleman, like maybe why he would consider going to a school with the worst quarterback than Arch Manning. That guy's put up pretty good numbers with pretty bad quarterback play. That guy's like quarterback proof. He's so good. He played with Peyton Thorne and Jackson Arnold these last 2 years and is still the number one player in the portal and a guy who's talked about like a lock to be a first round pick in 2027. So he might say, it doesn't matter who's flinging me the rock. I'm so good, I'm going to put up stats.
I'm going to go there, and I'm going to come up with a hammy pull that's going to last 9 weeks and still get paid and still get drafted and still go to the combine and have incredible numbers. Yeah. The kids these days, that's probably going to be on his mind also. Yep. This could be strictly about money.
Hopefully that hamstring pull doesn't happen if he's playing in Austin. We don't need that.
Oh, no. He wants numbers. He comes to Austin. He's looking to break some numbers. He's going to bring up some huge numbers here, which he could.
God, how good would that receiver room be?
Oh, my God.
With Coleman, Wingo, and Mosley, plus Lockett and McCutcheon for now, plus Jermaine Bishop coming in. Wow. And Arch Manning in year two.
Yeah, Andrew that's what I'm
Brown
saying.
In the backfield. I just need some offensive linemen. Where's the beef?
I don't know. You were supposed to get that done. That was supposed to be the number one thing. Remember, five guys in the portal on defense last year, the defensive line.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to have this all straightened out. I thought Coach Flood and Sark were going to get together and say, we truly need to fix this thing here.
Buck, it was January of 1984 when Wendy's dropped that iconic commercial with the slogan, where's the beef?
Yeah.
It's January of 2026, and I'm asking that for Texas. Where's the beef? Now, I think it's coming. Texas is still going to sign three, four, maybe even five offensive linemen out of the portal. Keep in mind, they're losing six, two to graduation, and they've had four guys hit the portal already there. So they need some people. Yeah, their top two targets were the two Michigan guys. They went back to Michigan. There's a Rutgers. There's a Wisconsin guy. So used to talking about Rutgers. Joe Brunner, who is in the portal, two-year starter at left guard, All Big Ten honorable mention, very good player. He was actually a preseason All-American, according to ESPN, going into 2025.
6'5", 390 probably.
I don't know about 390, but up there in the Midwest, Wisconsin, they know how to grow offensive linemen up there.
Yes, they do.
Would love this guy. Problem is, Indiana's in the mix, and Indiana's viewed as the front runner right now. Of course. Texas hoping to get him on campus and hoping to have a shot there. Takarius Peak, offensive tackle from NC State. He was a guy that Texas kicked the tires on. One of the top tackles in the portal. He actually committed to South Carolina last night. I don't know if Texas ever offered him. I don't know, like, if that was just we got outbid or whatever. But he's gone. That was a name that I thought the Longhorns would be interested in. They hosted a kid from Oregon State yesterday. Sikorsky is his last name. I'm giving him the Spicoli treatment. He only gets one name. He's Sikorsky. Started six games at Oregon State this year. He's got 3 years of eligibility left. So a guy who can help you in 26, but also beyond.
Let's not forget where he just got through playing.
I know. I know. Oregon State. I'll say it again. But he likes Beaver, so that's good.
That's true.
And, yeah, there's not a lot of names right now that are being
Where's the beef?
Texas. I know. Look, linebacker, the Kadu Luave kid from Cal on campus. That'd be a great get. And also Rasheem Biles from Pitt is on campus right now. I think he's the second highest ranked linebacker in the portal. You get those two guys, we won't be talking about Leonga Lefau anymore. No offense, Leonga, if you're listening. But, you know, as with everybody else who Texas is interested in, the Longhorns aren't the only team interested here. You know, most of the guys who have chosen to not play at Texas are going back to their previous school. But now there are a lot of guys who are in who are like not considering going back home. So hopefully that means the Longhorns have a better chance to start.
And once again, there'll be guys that are leaving these four schools that are playing in these semifinals and stuff. They're not keeping all their guys.
No,
they're just not. So,
but they're upgrading. I mean, Indiana's, again, they've got the number one ranked portal class right now. It's number one or number two. So they're not stopping. They're not slowing down.
They're not losing as many that are coming in. That's for sure. Like Texas is this year.
Right. We'll see. Maybe they will once the playoff is done.
That's true. Some of those guys are going to go, I'm never playing here. I got to bail.
Yeah. But Oregon right now, they're another one of those schools. They've lost 14 and they've only added three. Now they're still playing. So they've had their attention somewhere else, but Indiana, they've added 10. They've lost one so far. Wow. What is Kurt Cignetti doing, man? What's that guy doing?
I don't know. He's doing it right now.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he's the best coach in America. And I look, Kirby Smart's got two titles, and Ryan Day's got a title, and Dabo's got two. None of those guys, as good as they are, could do what Kurt Cignetti is doing with Indiana right now. There's nobody. It's insane. Even if they lose tonight, it's still insane what he's done there. So they're yeah, they're good. They're here to stay. I hate, like, Joe Brunner, that Wisconsin offensive lineman. Back in the day, 2 years ago, if a recruit was ever somehow between Texas and Indiana, you would just laugh and say, oh my God, we're good here. Now we might lose a really good left guard to Indiana. Not point guard, left guard, football.
How about that?
Crazy. So I think this weekend is going to be filled with a lot of news. Again, some of it's going to be bad. Texas isn't done losing players. Clearly, Kobe Black just hit the portal. But I do think we'll creep into the double digits in terms of additions. Right now, wow. Texas is at 8. I think they'll get to double digits here today, tomorrow, and Sunday. But we need some good news because, again, more of it has been bad.
Yes, it has.
Up to now. All right, let's talk a little NFL, unless you have something more you want to add.
No, man. I need to talk about something fun. This has not been fun.
It's not been fun. Well, no. Your picks have not been fun for the people.
Why, I think I had a pick last night that made the people very satisfied on a Thursday night.
You did. You did have Miami minus three, but you're still down 100,000 units for the season.
Oh, that's easy. We can get rid of that here shortly.
Now you do have 100,000 units on the Hoosiers this evening. Yep. But you also have plenty of NFL games to pick as Super Wildcard Weekend gets rolling tomorrow. What do you have for the people to try to get them back in the green?
Who's Philadelphia playing?
San Francisco. Man. Well, you don't sound very confident. You don't even know who these teams are playing. I thought you were going to have like a WWE style promo ready to go.
No, that's when we get to the semifinals. This one I don't like.
Let me give you the games.
Give me the games.
In chronological order, tomorrow afternoon, I'll give you the lines too. You've got the Rams at the Panthers. LA is a 10.5 point road favorite.
And a half?
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow night, great rivalry. Packers at Bears. Green Bay, a 1.5 point road favorite. On to Sunday, Buffalo at Jacksonville. The Bills, a 1.5 point road favorite. Sunday afternoon, San Francisco visits Philly. The Eagles minus 5.5 in that one. Sunday night, Chargers at Patriots. New England minus 3.5. And you could save Monday's pick for Monday if you want, but obviously you're Houston Texans in Pittsburgh. The Texans, 3-point road favorites. So you have four road favorites out of the seven games. Actually,
right. I'll take the Rams for 50,000 unit play.
You're not worried about the 10 and the hook.
I'm worried about the hook, but I wasn't worried about the 10. I'm worried about the hook.
Okay.
I'll also take the Green Bay Packers. Is Love playing? Is this dude playing or not?
The belief is that Jordan Love will be playing tomorrow.
All right. I'll take them. Where's this game played at?
Soldier Field tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on
What's the difference?
Prime cold Video.
Hey, cold in Green Bay, cold in Chicago. I'll take Green Bay for 50,000 unit play.
All right.
I'm going to take New England for 100,000 unit play.
Minus 3.5 against the Superchargers.
And then I wait on the Texans.
Okay. Nothing for Bills, Jags, or Niners, Eagles.
Yeah, I want to take the Eagles, but I don't want to. I don't want to lose any money for anybody there.
Okay.
And the Jags. I'm going to put a little 25,000 to play on the Jags winning the game.
All right. They're getting points at home.
Yeah.
Everyone feels like this has to be Josh Allen's time. You know, he always loses to Mahomes in the playoffs. There's no Mahomes in the playoffs. So.
What better time for him to lose than to those Jags?
That'd be tough. Yeah, but Buffalo's, if they lose before the conference championship game.
You're done with all his MVPs and all his talk.
They got to fire their coach. I would have fired Sean McDermott like 2 or 3 years ago, if we're being honest. Yeah, like if they can't get it done this year with Mahomes and Andy Reid not involved, then when are they ever going to get it done? And it sucks. They're on the road because the Patriots won the division, so it's a little tougher than what it's been for Buffalo. They're not going to get to play in Orchard Park anymore, but they got to make it happen, man. You lose to Jacksonville.
And I'm going to take the Eagles at home.
You're doing it?
25,000 unit play.
All right, look at that. So you got games on all – or plays on all five games this weekend.
Yeah, the Eagles at home.
That's a huge – 5.5 is a lot of points for me.
Or San Francisco.
San Francisco was almost the one seed.
Remember? I know, and they're playing pretty good with a bunch of guys that are hurt.
They obviously lost to Seattle, and their offense just looked abysmal in that game, so they fell from 1-6. But like 2 weeks ago, people were like, oh, San Francisco might be the Super Bowl winner this year. And now it's 5.5 against a Philly team that's been all over the place. I mean, I think the Eagles are going to win the game, but that's too many points for my liking.
Yeah, we're going to watch two great running backs. That'll be fun to watch.
Yeah. So we will see. That Bears-Packers game, I'm excited to watch.
So we're still sure that the running back is coming to Texas?
Malik Brown?
Yeah, he's coming, right?
He's coming to Texas.
Nothing has changed?
Nothing has changed. Feels like a fair question with the way things have gone down this week.
Yeah, I like him. I like him. I mean, I think there may be another one that's out there that maybe just a little bit bigger if you could get him. But I like what he does. I like what he does in the passing game too, BK.
Yeah.
He is a willing pass catcher. He wants to be – you can tell by when he runs routes and gets out that he wants the ball thrown to him. And he was so much a part of their offense where their quarterback would look downfield. They would then look to him immediately. And they get him one-on-one. And, man, he can catch and he can make that first guy miss. I just, as I said, I just don't like him as a finisher because of it. Just size-wise, he's not – when he runs between the tackles, he runs hard and he's got a good body lean, but he's not going anywhere. When the pile comes, that's where it ends right there.
Yeah. Well, I think he fills a lot of holes that Texas had in their running back room in 2025, right?
But he's got better speed than Wisner. He's not that kind of – if he breaks away, nobody's catching him. He's, a 30-yard run is going to the house. There's not going to be somebody that was 15 yards behind him that's going to catch him.
They didn't have that this year.
No.
They didn't have that home run threat out of the backfield this year. No. And they didn't have that pass catching threat out of the backfield this year. And the offense severely missed that.
Yes.
It was a huge part of what Texas did in 2024. And they didn't have a Jaden Blue type. Again, Relique Brown is a better Jaden Blue with less fumbling problems.
Right.
So that's good. I think people like Jaden Blue.
And Arch has lost his roommate. Now he's got a new catchy catch guy, too.
Relique Brown is the new catchy catch guy?
He's got to be. That guy's got to catch 40-some balls, you know, this year, 40, 45 balls for them to get to have a playoff berth.
Yeah, last year, being 2024, Texas had two running backs with more than 40 catches. It's Trey Wisner and Jaden Blue.
Yeah.
This year, I think Trey Wisner had 22 receptions to lead all Longhorn running backs.
That's some production loss there now.
Big time. Big time. And that's a big part of the Steve Sarkisian offense. I mean, we call him Screen Sarkisian. That's a nickname I gave him years ago because of how often he would use his running backs in the passing game. Now this year.
That's right. Until I forget all this portal talk. Miami doesn't have a coach any longer, do they?
This year it was Tunnel Screen Sarkisian. Who doesn't have a coach anymore?
The Dolphins.
Oh, the Dolphins. Yeah. Mike McDaniel. Got canned. That was yesterday, I guess.
Yeah.
Are you worried about something?
I don't know. I have to ask Desmond Howard when he's taking his trash out.
Desmond Howard. Oh, man. Don't throw stones from your glass house, Des. Where's the Michigan coach? What happened to that guy?
Yeah, really.
And Texas's coach isn't going to be back in 2026. What happened to your coach, sir? Oh, there's a tennis ball on the ground over here. Oh, man. Look, I kid you not. I've gotten like multiple texts from people this week about Sark going to the NFL. Like, is he going? Hey, I heard that he might be interested in Baltimore now that that job's open. Hey, could he go to Vegas? They've got the number one pick. Does he want that gig? And now with Miami, it's going to be more. I'm going to get another text today. I already know. Once those rumors went out there, like they're going to stay out there forever. They're going to stay out there forever. So I'm maintaining that I feel very strongly about Steve Sarkisian being the head coach at the University of Texas in 2026.
I tell you what, I'd never felt strongly about that they would lose 20 guys in the portal. I mean, that is truly telling me how things have changed. In a hurry.
Yeah, they have. And look, we talked about the other blue bloods earlier, the problems that Ohio State and Alabama and Georgia, Notre Dame and Michigan are dealing with. I mean, this is not updated because the number for Texas is at 23, but this is the number of SEC transfers, departing players. I mean, Texas is barely in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Texas isn't even in the top half. I guess now they may be. They may have passed Tennessee, although the Vols might have had a couple of guys transfer too since this was put together. But Texas isn't at the top of the SEC. They're not at the top of college football in terms of the amount of guys who are leaving. So, again, I don't know if this makes anybody feel better at all. We care about Texas more than we care about what's happening with other schools. But it's more of a changing of the sport than, we got to panic here in Austin. Game has changed.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I always thought that it would be because, you know, guys would get here and find out that, you know, even though somebody made some errors in recruiting them and whatever, that they would just start panicking and say, I can't play here. And that's what a lot of this will still be that they still have to recruit high school players.
Yeah.
But they'll find out when they get here that, you know, the coach really liked me and I was good. And then they find out I'm just not good enough and I got to get out of here. And even I know I'm not good enough and I got to get out of here.
Yeah, I think more money is going to start going to the portal than to high school. Again, the Colin Simmons, the Tyler Atkinsons, the Justin sure. Terrys, the best of the best, the five stars, those guys are still going to get paid a bunch. But are the high four stars who it's like, yeah, we're paying you because we think we can develop you.
Right.
And 2-3 years down the road, we think you could be a key contributor. Are those guys going to continue getting paid what they have been in the last 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, well, that kind of thing has to jump from forget 2 or 3 years. Can we have you ready by the end of your freshman year? Can I get you in some games that by the time you're a sophomore, you know, hell, I'm going to have a lot of playing time because I got a bunch as a freshman. It's not going to be one of those, I never got on the field as a freshman, and you're telling me as a sophomore, I'm going to then get on the field.
Yeah.
You better, if they're five-star guys, they better get in. They better be part of your plans, like you said, because if they're part of your money plans, they better be part of your game plans too.
Of course. And that's where, again, I don't know if Steve Sarkisian will ever come out and say they made a mistake bringing in the number one.
No coach wants to do that. I never right. want to do that. I made plenty of mistakes on running backs that didn't make it, that barely could even be on the team. Why is he even here?
I said it.
Everybody does that.
Excuse me, Bug. I said it yesterday. Like, Texas was hampered by all of the money they had sitting on the bench in 2025. Because they made it a point of emphasis to win as many marquee high school recruiting battles as they could.
Sure.
That's why they brought in the number one class in the country. It's a very cool thing to brag about. But a lot of those guys got paid a lot to sign, and they ended up getting paid a lot to sit. And I don't think Steve Sarkisian wants to do that anymore.
Oh, no. When you overload with that many receivers and they're all getting paid and they don't play, and one right. guy gets a couple catches – That's going to get you missing some of those receivers.
Yeah, and Texas doesn't want to pay them to, again, Jamie French was going to be fifth, sixth on the depth chart.
Yeah.
So why would you pay him a bunch of money to not play?
No, you can't do that anymore.
Exactly. So, and then Jamie French is going to get offered because of the type of recruit he was. Somebody's going to be interested in him. He may turn out to be a great player in college football. But if you're Texas, these are year-to-year deals. So you got to be thinking about, okay, what is this guy going to give me on this one-year contract that I give him? And if the answer is one catch. Yeah, for 6 yards or whatever it was, then you can't pay him as much as somebody else.
Yeah, and you as a head coach, you're looking around at yourself. You're looking at your position coach. You're looking at the kid going, wait a minute. This is all this kid's going to give me for 1 year is one catch, 6 yards. And I'm going to look at the wide receiver coach and go, dude, come on now. Well, you loved him. You saw him on film in high school. You saw everything he was. You saw how much everybody wanted him. And this is where you got him to. I'm going to be leaning on everybody. That's why you've leaned so hard on their offensive line coach. Like, this is what you're giving me. Even though we've been together all these years, this is what we've come up with this year.
Right. Yeah, the O-line coach deserves way more heat, I think, because nobody was good in that room. At least the wide receivers.
He's making money like some of these kids.
Of course.
More money.
Of course. Texas hadn't gotten much from Kyle Flood recently. They have not gotten any offensive linemen from the portal either yet.
Oh, yeah. I forget about that part either. You were asking, where's the beef?
Yeah, no beef yet. No beef yet. All right, quick shout out to McCall Custom Homes. If you want to upgrade your home in 2026, McCall Custom Homes, that's who you call. Mike McCall, great buddy of ours, big Longhorn fan, big TSU supporter. If you want a new kitchen, new bathroom, maybe you want a putting green in your backyard like the Buck has, they can do it all for you. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. A ton of experience. It's a father-son team with more than 4 decades of experience here in Central Texas, so they know what it takes to turn a Central Texas home into something truly, truly special. All you have to do is go to their website, McCallCustomHomesATX.com. They're offering free estimates to TSU listeners, so no risk at all to at least have them out to your place and tell them about your vision. They'll tell you what they can do, and then boom, you go from there. McCallCustomHomesATX.com. And some love to Hurricane Hecht. That's Ryan Hurricane Hecht. your go-to personal injury attorney here in Central Texas. If you or somebody you know gets hurt in a car wreck, gets injured on the job, suffers any kind of personal injury, got to reach out to the very best. That is Hurricane Hecht. 512-938-8929, hechtlawfirm.com for more info. Been a personal buddy of mine for a decade plus. Been fighting for justice and big results for a decade plus. He will do the same for you.
Justice.
Justice will be served with Hurricane Hecht. Don't forget it. Buck, I keep forgetting to show this, but I did find it funny, so I will show it now. This is a Reddit post. Are you a big Reddit guy?
No, I'm not. I've never read it.
Nice. Well done there. Have you ever heard of Reddit?
I have.
Okay, that's good. This was a question posed by an Ohio State fan. Should the NCAA have Ohio State and Miami redo their game in case it was a big fluke? No disrespect to the Hurricanes, says the poster. I'm a firm believer that Miami beating OSU is a huge fluke and robs the Buckeyes of truly accomplishing what they're capable of accomplishing. I spent the last few minutes in pure disbelief, and it just doesn't make sense to me. I spent the entire regular season watching Ohio State play great football, and it's just not fair. If the Bucks lose again, I will face that the Canes deserve the win, but I am just 100% sure it was a fluke and does a big disservice to the Bucks and the NCAA.
Yeah, man never was on the moon. Fluke person, stargazer.
Well, that one I actually believe. So maybe I do believe this guy.
There you go.
Just invented the green screen long before anybody knew we did. That's how we got Lance Armstrong up there. Yeah, Buzz Williams. I think those were the two guys.
Buzz Williams. Yes. Yeah, This is the goofy right here.
And what do you think? Should they have replayed the game? I guess now that Miami won again, maybe it is no fluke.
Miami may really beat their ass this time.
I don't know, man. Ohio State was a 10-point favorite. That means they had to be the better team, right?
Supposedly.
It didn't quite work out that way.
Canes are for real.
Canes look good. I mean, you can't make it this far into the playoff and not be for real.
No, Carson Beck's pretty good.
And their running back's good. Their offensive line is good. Oh. And they manhandle you, man. They whip you up front. I got to go back.
They got guys in the secondary that, you know, that they don't talk a lot about, but are just great athletes. They can't catch, but obviously.
Right.
You know, they're not going to make great receivers, but they're in spots where the ball is.
They won that game because of their offense, though. And the penalties, man. Can you get away with 10 penalties against Indiana or Oregon? I don't think so.
No. BK, my wife brought something up to me yesterday that I'm definitely surprised that you and Ronnie never brought up on the shows here. And for her, you know, because things generally find you, for some reason they found her at this late stage of her, you know, she's into all her, you know, her Bible study and stuff. And I don't even know how this got to be the Bible deal. But she showed me an article about the big offensive lineman at the Minnesota Vikings who is now retired, that he is suing his wife because his wife has been talking about his member. That was,
you know, you're allowed to send me this stuff, by the way. If you want me to talk about it on the show, you're going to have to send it to me.
I know what you're talking about. The size of the
cookie. Why hasn't this found you?
Your stuff finds me from people giving it to me.
Yeah.
You got to give it to me. Well, that's
Ronnie, did you see that? My wife told me about this guy.
The size of two Coke cans, right?
Two Coke cans and maybe a third.
Yeah, man. That's big.
Is that big or small? That's big, right?
Coke can, and we're talking about girth too.
Yeah.
Oh, two Coke cans wide, but like
talking about the linemen?
We're talking about three straight behind. Yeah, two of those not beside each other, top to top, and then the girth on that, but maybe a third one even.
But I can't turn it sideways because there's still some in here, but you're talking length or width here?
I'm talking about three length.
It was both. And I saw that. It was both of them.
And why is he mad about that? It's making him sound awesome.
Where is the beef?
I'm upset that she's been out there publicly putting that out there because that's what wrecked their marriage. He was too big for the actions.
And he's mad that she is airing the dirty laundry?
Well, I mean, obviously the locker room guys have known it for years, but she said it on a podcast, some guy's podcast. She's a podcaster, but she said it on some podcast. Now he's ready to sue her.
He wants to sue her, right?
No.
Yes.
Oh.
For what? Defamation?
Dude.
Yes.
Dudes.
Yes.
We talked about this months ago.
Yeah, you're carrying a loaded weapon.
Yes. Now, the development is the lawsuit. That is new. That is a part of the story that I did not know about. But we talked about how some football player's wife, they got divorced because she went on a podcast and said it was too big. So we didn't have intercourse.
Listen, I would have known if we were talking about a member like this.
We talked about it. You're old. You don't remember stuff. I'm disappointed in Ronnie and Wags not remembering
this. I don't remember this at all.
Well, check the tape.
What was the guy's name?
I'll go back and find the tape. That's how adamant I am. It'll take me 3 hours today because I don't remember when it was, but we did. If it's the same story, if it's the same person, maybe it's two.
He's now retired. He played for Minnesota Callis or something.
Khalil.
My wife says, you mean you guys have never talked about it? I said, I don't recall.
BK. Matt Khalil, we talked about this. Guaranteed.
I mean, I don't think that I'd feel defamed. I mean,
no. Right?
Yeah, what's?
Well, I don't know if it deters people away from checking stuff out down there. Then yeah, man, it's kind of defamation, bro. Like, no one's gonna touch you because of it,
dude. Well, I think
there's gonna be some in the shower with other dudes, so they know.
Well, I think there's gonna be some women who are like, I want to see what this. I want to see like.
How far this can stretch.
What's the opposite of defamation? Formation? This is formation here, dudes. This is great.
Blow me up.
I mean, seriously. Olipop, 3 Olipop cans long and the width.
I agree with this. You don't deserve the giant hog if you're going to act this way. If you're not going to be grateful for a gift to God, this is like getting your breast size reduced. You're slapping God in the face. Oh, you're going to complain that God has you too well endowed?
Yeah, I don't really see a problem
getting
in the
way, right?
Meanwhile, I'm over here like the size of just this little top of the Coke can.
I'm sitting here going like this, trying to get all the pressure in my body to pop it out.
Oh my God.
Oh man, how much water do I need to drink today to make this?
He is now on the lawsuit because of what she said on a podcast.
Okay. We'll have more details and we'll get the audio from the podcast. For next week's shows. But I know we talked about this, guys. I'm convinced. I didn't realize, though, he was suing. That is the new update here.
Wow.
Not only are you going to have the gift from God, but you're going to get the money because someone.
Well, he's been offered. He got offered a gig from an adult film deal to do a deal. You know,
you become a hurricane fan. That's you become a hurricane fan.
That's danger.
That's she becomes your fan. That's her.
Yeah I'm a fan of her.
That's who that is.
Oh.
Miami Hurricane fan.
Stranger danger.
Yeah, here's a picture of the actual woman in question here. Let me see if I can overtake your screen share, Double R. There you go. So that's his model ex-wife. Yes. So I don't know. Is he suing for her modeling money or is he suing for his money because of the divorce? And he lost a bunch of it.
Well, I mean, I think they've been divorced for a year or two now. She's suing for he's suing because she got on the podcast and defamed him about his Johnson.
Yeah. Again, I think it's famed.
You think it is famed? You think it's famed him?
He's famous now because of that Johnson. He's getting offered porn deals because of it. That seems like he's making money, not losing it.
So, sounds like life after football to me, right?
It depends on what studio he's going to for porn, honestly.
Wags knows all the good some of them are just not good studios. Yeah,
exactly. You gotta be in a classy studio for porn.
There you go.
Well, yeah. So, okay, would the Horn Studio qualify as a good...
No, that's up there. It's probably like a C tier. It's probably like a C. I mean, if you bring the blanket back, we can upgrade it to C.
Remember that one room did have the couch.
No, I took that couch. I took that couch.
No, you didn't.
I did take that couch at one point. Right. I did.
What do you mean?
The leather couch. I used that leather couch one time for my man cave for a while.
Yeah. No, wait a minute. Not the one that people were sleeping on when they'd come
in. No, not that one. Not the L-shaped one, but the little small one where we used to try and cram.
I know I brought a blanket up there years, and that same blanket was every time somebody was sick and laying on that couch, they would use that same blanket. I mean, it never got washed. It just stayed there, and I would see that over the top of people's heads and stuff.
Smallpox blanket is what we called it.
Yeah, that little green blanket. Oh, my God. That was great.
It had a lot of character to it.
Yeah. Oh, it had character to it, and it had all the kind of stuff stuck to it probably, too.
Well, then you had the one couch right outside the studio,
too. I walked in one time, and Kali was sitting there with his girlfriend under the blanket producing a show.
I was worried that you had taken that couch because there was some bodily fluids that were on that couch.
Oh, yeah. That couch is no longer in this house. That couch got, I think Sam actually ended up taking that.
Oh, my God. Well,
there you go. That's a good place. It
goes all the way back to Sam.
Yeah. I think Sam actually ended up taking the couch.
To the 20 people who know what we're talking about, this is the funniest thing ever right here. Oh, my God. You got to be OG Horn fan to know about this stuff. That's gold.
Oh, all right, boys, listen, have a great weekend and be careful, please.
You too, Buck.
You later, man.
Enjoy the weekend, guys. Thank you all.
Later, buddy. Take care, buddy.